Blog Talk Radio.
A new strength and a
a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you. Habrá alguien que puede adorar a Dios en esta noche, aunque aún no puede ver su milagro. Is there somebody in this house that can worship God in anticipation for what He is about to do? Habrá alguien en esta casa que sabe que su Dios está obrando en el silencio. That you know that your God is operating in the silence. There where nobody can see you. There where nobody believes in you. Allí es donde Dios está obrando. Levanta tus manos en este lugar. Levanta tus manos en fe en este lugar. Porque no andamos por vista. Andamos por fe. ¿Por qué no cantas conmigo en esta hora? Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, aunque no pueda ver sobrando, siempre estás sobrando, siempre estás. Déjame oír tu voz. Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, aunque no pueda ver sobrando, siempre estás. Vamos. Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, lo declaramos. Siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando. Aunque no pueda ver sobrando, aunque no pueda ver sobrando, siempre estás, siempre estás sobrando.
Shalom, shalom. Welcome, welcome everyone to the Lord's Hour. Praise God. Each one of you in the chat room, Brother Andrew, Sis Connie, Sis Walk in Truth, and I'm sure Sis Jeanette will be here soon. Praise God. And whoever else, bless each one of you, everybody by phone, Skype, or Facebook. You're all welcome. Come into the presence of the Lord and that we can fellowship and rejoice. Praise God. The Lord is good. He really is all the time. There's tremendous blessings and even tests and testimonies of things that we've been going through. But praise God, we finally got a little respite and a little bit of rest with all the things that we've had going on with our family. Everything's good. I'm a grandpa from the other side, praise God, or papa, what are they going to call me? I just looked at a picture on Facebook of my daughter and my granddaughter going home, praise God. But the Lord is good. But with all that good, I hope everything's going good in y'all's life. I have to say in that things are just moving very quickly, pointing to our going home. Very clear. First, we'll start with the nation of Israel. I asked you to pray. I was really upset and heartbroken. I shared it in one chat room as the event was happening. And, you know, I know it takes a little time for the message to go by, but I never saw nobody respond. And I go, what in the world? And I'm talking about what happened in Israel, in Tel Aviv, and about the Palestinian or gunman, terrorist, what do you want to call him? People just sitting out enjoying, you know, being outside at a restaurant and opens fire on them. And the last count was 12 injured and 2 dead. And I thought to myself, Lord, I hope the ones that were facing death cried out to you. I know many of the Jews know the Lord as Yahweh, but do they know the Messiah? Do they know their Savior? But I know that in the heart of everyone, God puts eternity. And I'm sure when you get close to it, by your last breath, you can cry. I mean, your last breath, you can cry out to the Lord. I pray for him. I pray for the gunman that he was caught up and deceived and misled by so-called religion that promotes death, and that you go this way or you are going to be punished or you're going to be dead. Well, who would be the only one that wants that kind of stuff? That'd be the following Satan. So he's behind that kind of religion. Anything with an ism, be careful of. Any isms, they're all made by him, excuse me, or man. And with their nature, if they're not born-again believers and don't have the nature of God, their nature is sinful and death. So that's what you have. And they're going into a time where they say, "Oh, we got to kill the Jews. We got to kill the Christians. We got to kill the infidels." Or we've got to, even they said something coming. They had like their own so-called Messiah, which will be the probably be the Antichrist to them too. Is a Maidi saying that Israel needs to be wiped out by July 8th? Well, by the word of God, that ain't going to happen, brothers and sisters. No, that's God's land and God's people. Now, there's many of them that's going to probably face death by what the Word of God says, but that will never happen because God is watching over them. And we have leaders in this nation, especially in the White House, trying to divide God's land and city. That's a dangerous thing. Just ask the people in the South. Every week, there's storms coming. Every night, there's tornadoes and storms. I mean, there's earthquakes going on, volcanoes going off, all kinds of riots, and everything's starting to happen. And that's because of, you know, the things they're doing in the nation of Israel. It makes God angry, and he responds, you know, what he's going to do. He's going to humble some people. But anyway, that's one thing. And if we pray for the victims' families, we pray for the ones that were injured, that they would be healed. Welcome, Sis Jeanette. Bless you, sis. Shalom. And the other thing, I don't know if you heard, but even a prophetic word, is what's happened in Israel, where they were going against, you know, the word that the Lord said about the Passover, and the health minister or something of Bennett resigned or going to the other party. Because they were going against what it said, you know, and the funny thing is we're studying the book of Exodus right now. It had something to do about eating or whatever, and they said, and they were just going against it, and it made it upset. it upset that person. I don't know if it was a man or woman. And it's making the government where they're not in control no more. So they'll probably have another election. The interesting thing is, brothers and sisters, that there was a prophecy of one of the older rabbis or scribes that said there would be a time of an illegitimate government, that they really didn't, you know, sort of like our illegitimate government here. It's happening everywhere. And it said it would last 9 months. Well, when this person changed to the, I guess, to the party like Benji Yahoo group, Luca, I think, or Luke or something, Luca, one of the main ones, is exactly 9 months from the day it started until now. And it said this would happen before the Messiah would show, that the Messiah would be coming when this happened, because he's the one that's going to set the government and everything in like it's supposed to, because man can't. Well, brothers and sisters, we know that that won't be their true Messiah. There will be many that will be misled and deceived. Well, there's that part. And then you have what's going over there in Dubai or something, where World Economic Forum and Schwab calling for world government, world currency, the thing to solve the problems. And as the world and rulers and the principalities and Satan are pushing to bring down everything like it is, to bring in the Antichrist and bring in the peace system, it's very clear by all that's happening. And as I see, you know, many watchmen speaking it, I pray and remind them, remind the people of the hope that God can sustain us. The Lord can watch over us. It doesn't matter what man does. It doesn't matter what Satan does. Our God is greater. Understand that, brothers and sisters. I don't care about the gas prices going up or food shortages. God can make a way. He's able to provide for it. He's not set up by the way of the system of how goods are moved or what the government says or whatever. God is able. He can make things, he can make your tank full, or he can make a bottle of water full easily. What did he do with the five loaves and fish? He fed over 5,000 people or more with men and women and children. He's able. He's not governed by physical law. And how much is he going to take care of you? Just like we're reading about in the book of Exodus at church right now, the church we're going to here, that he provided everything. He said, I will provide. I'm the God who provides. In the time of the Exodus, brothers and sisters, Moses was like a prophet, and Aaron was like the priest. But who was the king? The king was Jesus, or the king was God. And he provided everything, and he watched over. How much more for you? As I was sharing this week, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all your needs in the glorious riches of Christ Jesus. That covers it. We just need to understand we live by faith and not sight. Don't get so caught up in the things that are bringing fear and bringing gloom. Well, as it says, I was telling my wife, you might as well take normal out of the vocabulary or out of the dictionary, because it's never going to be normal again. It's going to be what's going to happen according to the word of God. But praise God, we're not going to be in the time where what they're trying to bring in, that'll be God's perfect way in time. But anyway, that's another thing. And then the other thing I would share is in your state there, Sis Connie and Sis Jeanette, the truck, the People's Convoy is in your state. If you have a chance, I would tell you to check them out. I mean, it's exciting to see somebody trying to still stand up for freedom and the kind of freedom and liberty that God gave us in this nation. And they're out there to go up against what your government or your local state government and governors trying to push for those terrible bills they're pushing. They know about them. And they're coming to put pressure on them to say, no, this kind of stuff shouldn't be happening in the U.S. So they're going to be having a rally in L.A., and then I think they're going to do something in Sacramento. But they're out there what's the word, to, come on, buddy, get it. Okay, yeah, man, thank you, Lord. To challenge them of what they're saying. And the kind of things, if you check those bills out lately, it's terrible. It's terrible. So anyway, praise God. The Lord can provide, and he loves us, and he watches over us, and it's awesome. And here, the ladies of God, I mean, the godly women have scripture that God's put on their heart. Matthew 8, verse 20. And Jesus said to them, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air's nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. No, that's true, but his deeds were met, and it seemed like he had, wherever he went, there was people that would provide for him, or his father would provide for him, for sure. But he was just saying, I'm not so caught up in this world either. 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18, verse 17. Our momentary light distress, the passing trouble, is producing for us the eternal weight of glory. Amen. A fullness beyond our measure, surpassing all comparisons, transcendent splendor and endless blessedness. So we look not at the things that we've seen, amen, but the things which are unseen. Hallelujah, God's kingdom. For the things that are visible are what? Temporary, just brief and fleeting. That's what's happening to this world and everything of this world. What you need is something sure and eternal, and that only comes through Christ. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for those scriptures. Praise God that our God will supply our needs. But seek first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And that he does that. Hallelujah. Romans 8, 28 through 31. And we know that all things work together for good for them that love God. To them, all things work together for good. That's key. To them that love God, whatever your faith, whatever you go through, to them are called according to his purpose. What shall we say then that these things, if God's for us, who can be against us? Amen. Who can? Nobody compared to him, right? Well, praise God. So there's that. Hallelujah. And then I thank God for each one of you. And man, I mean, stuff is so moving so quickly and everything's happening. And I mean, the other thing I heard at the end here before I came in is talking about Europe wanting to rise up and be a world power, making themselves into a world power, one entity. This is getting real, brothers and sisters. The Lord's coming soon. He really is. I mean, it's so exciting. Even the message that he wanted me to share, that it's like almost like a final warning or call that people need to understand what comes next. What comes next, and from this life to eternity. Are you ready? Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you and praise you for this night. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the mighty Holy Spirit. Thank you for you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you've done for each one of us. And Lord, for your powerful name, name above all names. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us and you lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, that your angels are encamped around us. We're very grateful that you watch over and protect each person and their families, and watch over the Lord's hour and the connections and the computers and phones and the ways you have us connected here. Father, we give you all the glory and praise that you're able to do things that are considered impossible, but they are possible for you. And the greatest one is salvation. And others that you do is deliverance and healing. And you set us free from darkness and hell and the devil, and you bring us into your marvelous kingdom, and you save us and forgive us, and you give us freedom. And Lord, you give us one of the greatest things. I would know that everybody, when they experience it and know it, is your peace. Your peace past all understanding, that everything's going to be okay, that you're with us, Lord, and that you'll never leave us, forsake us. You're not like any man, any leader. You're not definitely like anything of the fallen one and the fallen angels. You're a loving God. You're merciful and kind. And Lord, you love us so much. You proved it at the cross and at the grave. Everything you did was for us to be redeemed. We're very grateful, Lord. Took care of the problem we had called sin, and then you took care of the consequences, which is death, hell, and the grave forever. We're very grateful, Lord. We praise and honor you, and we give all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I know that one, sis. That's the one that that's been with me. And wake up with Proverbs 3, 5, 6, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord, confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will recognize him, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Be not wise in your own eyes. Respect, honor, and praise the Lord, and depart from evil is verse 7, too. Praise God. So tonight we start off with a praise song, a worship of about the Lord, praise his name forever, that Jesus, it's all about Jesus alone, praise his name, and that this is who he is, and Jesus, and then from Jesus Christ, Revelation 1, verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness that he was, the firstborn of the dead, praise God, that victory over sin, death, and hell. He has the keys of death and hell in his hands. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. Any rulers think they're it? They think they're leaders? No, not compared to him. To him, and here's the key for us when it gets personal. To him who always loves us. Who always loves us. Isn't that amazing? And who once for all, once for all, what? Freedom, or washed us from our sins. What can wash away our sins but the blood of Jesus, his own blood, his sacrificial death, and formed us into a kingdom as his subjects, priests to his God and Father, and to him be the glory and the power and majesty and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus alone. Thank you, Lord. Jesus alone. Praise his name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who is the King of glory, seated on high in the heavens? Oh, Jesus, you alone. You are the Lord God Almighty, strong in compassion and mercy. Oh, Jesus, you alone. I've searched the world for a love that could fill my heart, but nothing compares to the wonder of who you are. Praise him! Holy, all the earth singing holy, holy angels sing holy, Jesus, you alone, Jesus, you alone. Amen! Hallelujah! You set the stars in the heaven. You set the world into motion. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah. You bring your life in creation. You walk among your created. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah. And I searched the world for the love that could fill my heart. Oh, is it something compared to the wonder of who you are? Holy, all the earth singing holy, all the angels cry holy, Jesus, you alone. Oh, worthy, worthy, all the creation sing worthy, all the heavens exalt thee, Jesus, you alone, Jesus, you alone. All right, he's going to make it personal here. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Love for salvation. You broke the curse for our free. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Amen. Glory. You rose from death with the morning. You'll come again in your glory. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Oh, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah. Holy, all the earth singing holy, all the angels cry holy, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah. Worthy, all creation sing worthy, all the heavens exalt thee, Jesus, you alone. Holy, holy, all the earth singing holy, all the angels cry holy, Jesus, you alone. Worthy, all creation sing worthy, all the heavens say holy, Jesus, you alone. Hallelujah! Worthy, sing worthy, holy, Jesus, you alone. Yes, Jesus. Worthy. Be worthy. Jesus, you alone. Jesus, you alone. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. Who you are and all that you've done, we praise and honor him. Praise the name of the Lord. 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happening unto you. But rejoice, insomuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Amen, sis. That's very true. You got to remember who Peter was writing to, the Christians that were facing the Colosseum. They were facing death for their faith, or torture, or prison. But he was telling them, whatever you face, that you're partakers of what Christ suffered, that we all should be prepared. But we know we're not alone. that the Lord is with us. And that is not only about physical life. There's something even greater than that if you turn. And that's the life we have, brothers and sisters. Amen, sis. In the days we live, yes, we should. Praise his name forever. But it's only like a door to eternity. If we face that, or we could all be alive and remain when the Lord comes. That's very clear by all that I shared earlier in this service. Early in this service, that the Lord should come for us. Have we been raised up for such a time as this to see that glorious coming? As I was singing and singing that song, Holy, can you imagine when you come into the presence of the Lord, come into the presence of the Father, and all the redeemed and angels worshiping and praising him, all the 24 elders, all the creatures that worship him, how that's going to be so powerful and overwhelming. What do you think we're going to do? It's like I can only imagine song by Mercy Me of I Only Imagine. I think one of the biggest ones would be falling down on our faces. Or will you be rejoicing? Or want to be with Jesus? But it's going to be absolutely amazing and beautiful, like you say, sis. It really is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, sis. Sis Jeanette, we're going to come and share what God's put on your heart in the worship and praise tonight. Prepared you for such a time as this now and what he's put on your heart to sing and praise him. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Got a pretty powerful message, and it's pretty long. I was surprised, but it's all mainly God's word, and that's all good. It feeds us. Yes, it feeds us the meat of the word. And asking the people the question, are you ready for what's next? Are you ready for what's next? What comes next? Yeah. Are you ready for what comes next? Amen. Hey, sis.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory.
Glory
honor,
to him.
Honor his name forever and ever.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen,
praise
sis.
Lord. Amen.
All right. You
okay.
Go ahead, sis. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Okay, brother.
For all the things Exalted
Jesus, I love you. Oh, I will sing forever. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. How wonderful, how beautiful, name above every name, exalted I. How wonderful, how beautiful, Jesus, your name above every name, Jesus.
A bright
waiting for doom. We'll be at church, we'll be ready for you. Every heart longing for our King. We sing, Jesus, so come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, so come, Lord Jesus, come. Jesus, so come, Lord Jesus, come. Yes, Lord. Yes, come, Rich.
Amen. Yes, sis. We long for him to come. Hallelujah. He'll keep his word and promises, and he'll comfort us until then. Amen.
Thank
Amen.
You, Lord. Yes. Amen.
Yeah. All right. Bless you, sis. Thank you. Thank you for praising and worshiping the Lord and sharing your life and your beautiful voice and anointing that God's given you. And
you.
We'll see you at the end of the service, okay?
Okay, brother.
All
okay,
right.
Bye-bye.
Bless you, sir. Bye-bye.
Bless you, too, brother. Bye.
All right. Praise God. All right. Amen. Amen. Well, here's the message. And it's a question for all people, all of God's created children. And it's best to answer it right. Are you ready for what comes next? Shalom, brothers and sisters, in Christ's grace, mercy, and love from our eternal God and Father, our eternal Savior and Lord Jesus, and the eternal Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You see the theme, eternal, everlasting. Hear the words of the Lord. He is an everlasting God. He is a God who stays. When he comes to you and in your life, he don't go away. He stays, praise God. As you see, even by my greeting, I am pointing to you something so true and important for each of us, God's created children, each man and woman who is born. That we came from dust of the ground, and God breathed into their nostrils. Adam and Eve, the very first man and woman, they were created and formed out of the dust of the ground, just mere dirt. We were formed in our mother's womb by the true living God. Oh, yes, we have the natural and science of it, of this. But there is much more than meets the eye. Let's look. Psalm 139:13-18. For you form my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I give thanks and praise to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. And my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in secret and intricately and skillfully formed as if embroidered with many colors in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book we were all written. See, God doesn't want anybody to perish. He wants all to come to repentance and come to him. The days they were appointed for me, when as they were not one of them even taking shape. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Isn't that awesome? So as we see from God's word that he is our creator for each of us who are alive and breathing. Amen? So they were formed and they were made perfect to live in a paradise that God made. But as we all know, that our love has to be proven. There has to be trials and tests for us all. The Lord God did not make a bunch of robots, or one I remember was Goonies from the comic strip Popeye. They were all alike. They all did the same thing. All of them would chase Popeye and say, "I love Popeye," over and over again. No, this is not what God wanted and intended. He gave each man and woman a free will to choose him for themselves, to love him and have a relationship with him. This is why God made man to have a personal relationship with him and fellowship and spend time with them. He created man for his own good pleasure. Amen? Luke 12:7, "But even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore. You are more valuable than all the sparrows." Yes, you are. And you think about it. How many sparrows are out there? God proves his love and concern for them, providing everything they need to live and enjoy life in this beautiful paradise that God made. That he would come and be with them and enjoy their time together in the garden with them. So like all true love, it has to be proven. God wanted to know that Adam and Eve truly loved him and would honor him and even worship him as their God and creator. Many people tend to forget this because of all the foolish wisdom of man and the doctrines of demons, the fallen ones. But these days, they are starting to see it very clear that he is God and that he is in total control of this world and universe, all that he has made. Amen? So back to who we are and who he is and the question I asked at the start, are you ready for what comes next? The question of love and obeying God comes to Adam and Eve, and their choice sets it up for all of mankind. Matthew 6:26, "Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap or gather in barns? Yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you much more valuable than they?" That's true. Genesis 2:15-17. "So the Lord God took the man and he had made and settled him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, you may freely, unconditionally eat the fruit from every tree of the garden, but only from the tree of knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Otherwise, on that day that you eat from it, you shall most certainly die because of your disobedience." Here was a command and a test and trial of their love for God was coming. The word "die" here is not talking about only physical, but eternal death, which lasts forever. God have mercy. Both spiritually and physically. Physical death in the sense of becoming mortal. They were created immortal. And if Adam and Eve were disobedient, they'd lose their immortality. They would become just mortal. Well, brothers and sisters, just like us today, when we learn something from the Lord or his word, then the tests and trials come. I wonder if Adam and Eve understood the gravity of the situation. They were made into the image of Almighty God. He made them perfect, immortal, would have never died. Amen? Well, let's look what they did and sets up our mortal destiny. Genesis 3:1-7. The fall of man. "Now the serpent was more crafty and subtle and skilled in deceit than any living creature of the field which the Lord God made. And the serpent, Satan, said to the woman, 'Can it really be that God said, you shall not eat from tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit from the trees of the garden, except the fruit from which is in the middle of the garden. God didn't really, he said, from the tree, what God said is, but only that you should freely eat any conditional in Genesis 2:16. You shall freely, unconditionally eat the fruit of every tree of the garden, but only the tree of knowledge, recognition of good and evil, you shall not eat. Don't say anything about in the middle of the garden. But it does say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The one you ain't supposed to eat. Now remember, he just said eat, but listen what happens. Just like any kind of temptation for any of us. You should not eat of the tree of the garden. But the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, except the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God said, you shall not eat from it, nor touch it, otherwise you will die. Well, he didn't say that. He said, if you eat it, and she added, nor touch it, otherwise you should die. But really pretty smart, because usually you got to touch it before you eat it, smell it, look at it. But the serpent said to the woman, you certainly will not die. He's lying. He's a deceiver. Out of his mouth, his lips come lies. God did say that they die. And that die means physically and spiritually, or eternal. What did he say? He said that. And then he says another lie. For God knows that on that day you eat from it, the tree of good knowledge, your eyes will be open. Well, maybe we don't need our eyes open to things like that. Look at the mess we're in now. That is, you will have greater awareness. Oh, yeah, you've heard that word. And you will be like God. That's what man's always doing. They're always trying to do. They're trying to do now. They're trying to control the world and set up their own way of doing things. They will fail. And they will be punished and destroyed for it, knowing the difference between good and evil. They were innocent. They didn't need to know. And when the woman saw that the fruit was good for food and that she was delighted and it was delightful to look at. Well, there you go, looking at it. And a tree to be desired in order to make one wise and insightful. Well, these are things that are talking about sin or temptation. She took some of it. Fruit and ate it after what God told her. And she also gave some to what? Her husband with her, and he ate it. Why in the world did Adam stand up? He had an authority that God gave him. He could have told the old serpent, get out of there. Leave my wife alone. And he was sitting there letting this thing talk to him. Now, I don't know if it was really like a real serpent, or it's really this trying to describe what he really is, this fly and crafty and slithery and everything, but he's really a beautiful creature. You know, he's called an angel of light. He can disguise himself. But Adam, it's laid on Adam. It's laid on Adam, not Eve. It's laid on Adam, the fall of man. That's for sure, and all men and women, everybody. And when the woman saw the tree, that it was good for food, that it was delightful to look at, and the tree to be desired, some of its fruit, and ate it, and also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Boom. Their fate is sealed. You heard what the Lord said. Every other tree in the garden. It's just like anybody in our nature. When you tell a child, stay away from the oven or don't eat the cookies, what are they going to do? That's the nature. That's the nature that has to be changed. She took some and ate it with her. Then the eyes of the two of them were opened. That is, their awareness increased. Uh-oh. And they knew they were naked. And they had fashioned fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Truthfully, brothers and sisters, I believe they were, you know, like in the spirit, and then boom, they went disobedient. That was just taken away. I mean, it was, you know, it was just like this physical body. Oh, yes, the enemy of your soul is very crafty, and he wants many of God's children to fall like him. He wants as many as possible to join him in his rebellion against God and his creator. He wants you to suffer the same fate as him and the fallen angels. Why do they face this? Disobedience and rebellion against Almighty God. Now, why does man and woman face this? Because of disobedience and rebellion against Almighty God. God have mercy. One more point I will make about Satan is that he is very subtle and skilled in deceit. So be very alert and discerning each day. Amen? Let's continue. Genesis 8 through 19. And they heard the sound of the Lord God. Amen, sis, that's right. Because the wages of sin is death. It is. And it's just not physical. It's eternal. The sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the afternoon breeze of the day. So the man and woman hid and kept themselves hidden from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because they're sinful now. You can't stand in the presence of the Lord. God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? He said, I heard the sound of you walking in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. Uh-oh. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten the fruit from the tree which I commanded you not to eat? And the man said, here we go. Here's the other part of sin and the nature of it. And the man said, the woman whom you gave to me, to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and I ate it. Well, even if, you know, if they touched it, if they smelled it, God said eat it. You gave it, and don't you remember what God said? He said, don't eat it. He said, no, don't eat it. I mean, where was it? He's supposed to be there standing for his, he's supposed to stand there for his wife. But he didn't. It was all, it was both their faults. And here we go. And then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? And the woman said, well, here she goes. The serpent beguiled and deceived me, and I ate from the forbidden tree. All they had to do is say no and walk away. But we know where we're at. But God wasn't caught off guard. He still loves us that much that they still had the free choice. They had the decision to make between the Lord or this evil, crafty, deceitful, wicked, fallen serpent, serpent. The Lord God said to the serpent, the first one he spoke to, because you've done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than any animal of the field. On your belly, you shall go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. That means every one of them. I don't know if they used to, serpents used to be able to walk or whatever. They were on their bellies now. And then verse 15, and I will put it into me open hostility between you and the woman. And I think that's very true. I believe the devil comes hard against women. And between your seed, well, women don't have seed, offspring. And, I mean, your seed, his offspring, Satan's offspring, and her seed. And he shall fatally bruise your head. And you should only bruise his heel. So right from the start, God had a plan and a way and a purpose for salvation and life. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. Well, I know they ain't thought about anything about child. I mean, well, anything about childbirth, I don't know where that's at, except now it's going to be painful. You will remember now. In pain, you will give birth to children. Yet your desire and longing will be for your husband. And he will rule with authority over you and be responsible for you. Well, he should have already known that. Then to Adam, the Lord God said, because you have listened intensely to the voice of your wife and have eaten fruit from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Attentively, listen attentively. See, you're supposed to be listening attentively to the Lord God over anyone. What has everybody been doing in this world? Been listening attentively to the leaders, to the government, to the church leaders and the religion, the religious crowd. No, we're supposed to be listening to the Lord attentively. He knows what's best for us. You have eaten the fruit from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. The ground is now under a curse because of you. Because of you. He's talking about sinful man. In sorrow and toil, you shall eat the fruit of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles, it shall grow for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face, you shall eat, you will eat bread until you return to the ground. For from it you were taken, for you are dust, and the dust you shall return. Man, you know, wow. There you go, where you were and where you are now, right? How much we need a Savior, huh? Well, brothers and sisters, this is very serious. It had eternal consequences for us all. Since Adam and Eve had dominion over this world, and when they sinned and they gave it over to the simple one, the master deceiver, Satan, all involved in this were punished. Through the punishment, they would remember what they had done. But even at that place, God was not caught off guard. He was announcing to Satan, I have a redemption plan to redeem all of my created children, and this time, Satan, you will not be able to stop it. Hallelujah. I will make a way for my created children to come back to me and be saved and become immortal, immortality again. You know that had to blow Satan away, and that in his senate, no redemption, but for all men and women there is. This had to infuriate Satan and was cut off guard for sure. Amen. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters, and all listening tonight, and in the archives, if God permits the time, this is very important. Listen closely. Satan does not want you to know this truth, that from your fallen state, you can be redeemed. And you have to be. Oh, yes. He will tell you that you can be religious, that you can be self-righteous. And I found out today from Psalm 26, you know what pretenders are? Self-righteous hypocrites, what Christ called the religious leaders of his day, that you can be self-aware and even spiritual, as long as you do not know the truth, that the Son of God, the one that God the Father was speaking about in the garden, has come, and his way to salvation and to be redeemed to your God and Creator. He is Yeshua, Jesus, that he himself came down from heaven and became a man to bear witness to this truth, that God truly loves you right now, even you being a sinner and mortal, that he himself identified with us mere men and women, that he understood what he was going to have to do to bring God's children home. It was going to cost him his life, his blood, to make it happen. You see, sin is very serious, and the only way to redeem sin is the shedding of innocent blood. In the Old Testament, the blood of sheep and bulls. But this was just a mere type and shadow until the real Savior and Messiah would come. This was pointing to the one that God said in the garden would come. Hallelujah. That's God's prophet kept prophesying of the one who would save mankind from sin and ourselves, mere mortal. Amen? Romans 8, 1 through 2. Or is it Romans 8, 1 through 2, or 5 or 6? Let's go 1 to 2. Therefore, there is no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus is the key. Who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior, that you have a relationship with the living God, the Savior, the Son of God. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the law of the new being, has set you free from the law of sin and death. Praise his name forever. That's the truth. That's the truth. Amen. Let's look. Luke, thank you, sis, for sharing. Luke 3, 15 through 17. Now the people were in the state of expectation, and all were wondering in their hearts about John. Here's a word about John. This is talking about John the Baptist, I do believe, to whether he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed. And John answered them all by saying, as for me, I baptize you with water. But the one who is mightier, more powerful, more noble than I is coming, and I'm not fit to untie the strap of his sandals, even as a slave. He will baptize you who truly repent with the Holy Spirit, and you remain unrepentant. His winnowing fork is in his hand and thoroughly clear, his threshing floor, and to gather the wheat, believers, into his barn, kingdom, but he will burn up the chaff, the what? The unrepentant, with unquenchable fire. That means the ones that did not turn to the living God for salvation and life, and they still believe in their self, in the fallen ones of this world. That nature to death, Christ is the only one that can save you. And turning to him is what true repentance is. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the true Messiah, was describing to the people of his day and to us now. Because God's word is truth. And you will be true for all eternity. Amen? He tells them what he will do when he comes and what we are to do too. He will baptize you who truly repent, who truly believe and trust him and have a relationship with him. Truly repent with the Holy Spirit. This is why repentance is so important. When you first come to the Savior and Messiah in our life daily as the Spirit reveals, amen? Look what happens to those who do not repent. You who remain unrepentant with fire. This fire means the fire of God's judgment and wrath for being disobedient in your flesh and sin. The other thing that it's speaking of is your eternal punishment, the lake of fire. God have mercy, and he truly does. Let's continue. Now, John announces the greatest news to all of mankind, mere mortal man, dust to dust. But remember one thing. Yes, this flesh is mortal, but God is eternal. And when he made man and woman, he made them to be eternal. So yes, dust to dust for your flesh, but your eternal soul will live forever and ever. What we face because of the sin in the garden at the beginning is eternal death, sort of like just an existence. It will not be like real living at all. Wow. Looks like no hope. We were trapped in our flesh and sin, but God. Now see the salvation of the Lord, the one who loves you so much that he's willing to sacrifice his own son. Glory to God. Let's look. John 1, 29 through 35. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him, and he said, look. Everybody look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Not the blood of goats and bulls anymore. No, the true sacrifice has come, glory to God. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me comes a man who is higher ranked than I, in priority over me, for he existed before me, did not recognize him as the Messiah. But I came baptizing in water that he would be publicly revealed to Israel. John gave further evidence, testifying officially for the record with validity and relevance, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven and remained upon him. I did not recognize him as Messiah, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this one is who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I myself have actually seen this happen. And my testimony is that this is the Son of God. Jesus' public ministry, first converts. Again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked along and said, look, the Lamb of God, all glory to God. God Almighty had a plan and his will and the prophecy announced personally to Satan and to Adam and Eve, who represent mankind, came to pass, and his son, Yeshua Jesus, the anointed one, the true Messiah. Amen. Hallelujah. One point I will make about takes away the sin of the world. John is referring to the fulfillment of the need of the Passover lamb, which was now fulfilled in Christ's sacrifice, the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin. Hallelujah. Praise his name. You see, brothers and sisters, and all the Jews of the world, why did God have you sacrifice lamb? Because it was pointing to the Lamb of God to truly take away our sins forever. The eternal Lamb of God. Amen, Yeshua, Jesus. It's good to have you here too, sis. Bless you, Susan, and you have a good night. Shalom and good night. So now God has made a way for us to come back to him. be what he really intended for us to be in this world. Well, this world is not a paradise anymore. Just like God told Adam and Eve that you will work, and from the sweat of your brow you will toil. For the woman childbirth was going for the woman of childbirth was going to be easy, but because of sin in this fallen world, your pain would increase mightily. I believe this is because now a child is born into sin, and this is terrible. So the pain reminds the mother and all of us that, yes, a child is born and life is granted, but your child needs to be redeemed too. I would say probably the other part is how much pain and hurt that Christ to save us and give us eternal life. So now we come back to the question again. Are you ready for what is next? What is after this life we live now? Do you know? God's word reveals it to us. Let's look. John 3:1-3. The new birth. Now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher, for no man can do these signs, these wonders, these attesting miracles that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, I assure you, most say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified, he cannot ever see or experience the kingdom of God. Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. And this leader of Israel or religious leader or whoever is supposed to represent God seemed like he didn't know it. That is what the Lord is telling Nicodemus, a ruler among the Jews, until all of us as created children. You have to be born again to be what God intended for Adam and Eve, eternal life where there is mortal flesh puts on immortality. Well, brothers and sisters, the first thing that has to happen is being forgiven of our sins so that we can be born again, that we come out of the state of being lost and rebellious and come back to God the Father through his Son, Jesus. Let's continue. John 3:13-20. No one has gone up into heaven, but there is one who came down from heaven, the Son of Man himself, whose home is in heaven. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze serpent in the desert on a pole, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on the cross, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Whoever believes in him. Does it say anything else there? Any works, traditions? No, it doesn't. It says to believe in him. After physical death, and he will actually live forever. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that even gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes and trusts in him as Savior shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge and condemn the world, that is, initiate the final judgment of the world, but he is very soon. But that world might be saved through him. Whoever believes and has decided to trust in him as personal Savior and Lord is not judged. For this one, there is no judgment, no rejection, no condemnation. But the one who does not believe and has decided to reject him as personal Savior and Lord is judged already. That's why Satan and the fallen angel are all judged. That one has been convicted and sentenced because of the nature we have without Jesus. Been convicted and sentenced because he has not believed and trusted in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God, the one who's truly unique, the only one of his kind, the one who alone can save him or her, only Jesus. But God the Father is saying, this is the judgment that is the cause of indictment, the test by which people are judged, the basis for the sentence. God's got this covered. The light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light. How's that working out? Not too good. For their deeds were evil. For every wrongdoer hates the light and does not come to the light, but shrinks from it. For the fear that his sinful, worthless activities will be exposed and condemned, and they are, and they will be. But whoever practices truth and does what is right, morally to the light, so that his works may be plainly shown to be what they are, accomplished in themselves? No. How they are accomplished and what you do for the Lord in God. That's where the big divide is. That's where the big problem is. We got people out telling them, you've got to do this and you've got to do that. No, the Lord has done it. Now, as we are believers and born again by the Spirit and saved, now God has good works for you that will be empowered by him, the Spirit, not ourselves. They're worthless in this flesh. It's what happens through the Lord in us. We depend upon him. This new life, you can't live this new life in your flesh. It has to be alive. You have to live in the Spirit. And you will, because he lives in you. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit shows up, he'll never leave you. That's who God is. He's a God who stays. Don't let anybody tell you any different. When you come to salvation alive, you're saved. You're saved for all the time that God says, which is eternal. It's not going to be no temporary, or some people have to say you can lose it. Well, you don't have it if you think you can lose it. Only Jesus. He's the reason. He accomplished it. Only him. Everything else will lead to death and destruction, deception of the enemy. Remember how subtle he was with Adam and Eve. Twist a word here, add a few things here. Let's put a little man's wisdom here. Oh, let's do the traditions and works here. That's how he operates. Don't get caught up in labels, but get caught up in the truth of Jesus. That he's the only answer. There is no other answer in this world. No government. No government plan, no religion, a religious plan, not in your own self. It all will fail. Humble yourself and come before the Lord. He is the Savior. He is your Creator and God. Believe and trust him. There is no other answer, no other way but Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So Jesus, the Son of God, being the truth, as great witness to us, is saying very clearly that there is only two destinies for each of us in eternity. One is forgiveness of our sin, redeemed unto the Lord, and have eternal life through our Savior and Lord Jesus, who sacrificed his life to make it possible for us to be born again. Amen? For everyone else. For everyone else who do not repent and think they think come on, Pages. Okay, there we go. They know what is best for them? The ones who listen to the lies and deception of man And the enemy of your soul, Satan, the ones who reject Christ or add to or take away or say you can lose what God does and trample his soul, his redeeming blood, you will face eternity with the enemy of your soul because you truly choose him over God. And you will face judgment and torment of your choice with your own free will. God had mercy. And he truly does. Right now, this time we live, the time of grace, God does have grace, mercy, and love for you now. But you have to accept it personally. You have to choose. God does not force no one to. But when you don't choose him, you'll face the eternal consequences. Just like Jesus, Son of God, laid out. But God does not want you there with Satan and the enemy of your soul. He didn't create that place for you. He created for Satan and the fallen angels. No, he wants you with him. He wants you redeemed and reconciled to him. Amen. Yeshua Jesus has made this possible through his life and death and shedding of his blood. The other part is what he is saying to Nicodemus. Let's look. John 3, 4 through 8. And many people don't get a hold of this because they have been deceived by so many different doctrines or whatever. But you've got to get this right. And the Word of God shows you clearly. The Savior himself, the Son of God, says it out clearly. This has to happen in your life. John 3, 4 through 8. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? See, he's focused on the physical. This man that is supposed to know about God and his word. He's focused on the physical. What a silly thing you think about. How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? You hear that? A full-grown man? Jesus answered, and he tells them again, I assure you most solemnly, follow me, say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. The physical is merely physical. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He didn't say anything about merely, did he? Because it's eternal. Do not be surprised that I have told you, you must be born again. He tells them again. He's saying this is very important. You better be listening. And what is born again? Reborn from above. Spiritually transformed, renewed, and sanctified. You are brought to life. The life of God. He comes and lives in you. Hallelujah. The wind blows where it wishes. And you hear its sound. But you do not know where it is coming from or where it is going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit, and that's very true. You don't see the wind, you see the effects of it. When it stirs up the leaves or when it stirs up dirt like a dust devil or a tornado, or you see it blowing the waves and the rain, the same thing. Brothers and sisters, we are Spirit and truth. God's kingdom is not like the physical things of this world. It is a different dimension and greater. But they interact right now. Which is physical is merely physical. But God was going to do something that man could not do for himself. No, no, none of us. He was going to save us from our sin. Hallelujah, not ourselves. You can't save yourself. Only God can save you. He's the only one that can forgive you. He's the only one that can put your sin under the blood. And you know what? He has. He has for every one of his created children. because he wants all of them to be redeemed and saved. He never intended for anybody to go to hell, but he says clearly what's going to happen if you do. Because the other side of it, just like Adam and Eve, we all have free will. And that's because of God's love, too. It's amazing. You think about it. You think about why. Why? But you know why when you see the kind of things that happen in the world. You see what people get caught up in, what the devil wants you to get caught up in. He wants it to be you looking at yourself. He wants to see what you can get out of this world. No. No, anything about what was really the answer to life, what God intended for us, is come back to him. He made a way where there was no way for us. I mean, none of us. None but him. And that's what life is really all about. This is just a short part of it. This is just the beginning, brothers and sisters. There's a vast eternity ahead. There's great things that God has prepared for us. And you who believe and trust Jesus, and you take hold of the truth and obey what the Father has said to believe in his Son and trust him and serve him and worship him, you're very special to God. Because many of his own people rejected him. But praise God. God's made a way when we heard the truth somewhere in our lives that we humble ourselves and said, yeah, no, Lord, I can't do this anymore. I need help. My life's a mess. Help me, Lord. And he sees that humble heart seeking. Oh, he's going to be there. Thank God he'll never leave. If there's any place in your life you feel like God's gone, it's not him. It's us walking away from him. But he's still there. Could be in the place that you're at and you still hear his voice. And don't do that. Don't go there. I'm here. Come back to me. Serve me. I give you life. He was going to save us from our sin and make us new again, born again. What he did with Adam and Eve, but he made it even greater through his Son. Hallelujah. He made it permanent, praise God, that he defeated the one there's nobody in this world can stand up against, and that's the following Satan and his nature and character. You cannot be chained in yourself and whatever you do. Jesus called it in John 6, worthless. And I think it is Philippians 3 or 2, Paul calls it trash and dung compared to Christ, because that's God's standard. And you've got to meet that standard. Do you meet it in yourself? No way. Only in Christ and Christ alone, like Sis Jeanette said here. That's right. Praise God what the Lord is showing. And I believe that he brought forth this message because it's close. That many people are going to be making this decision, and it should already be settled. So you'll be ready to go with Jesus when he comes for us. Yes, it is hard to understand and figure out, but we are told just to believe and have faith in God that he truly able to do this. And the Holy Spirit will teach you and reveal all this to you. What happens? Men try to figure this out without being born again. And the Holy Spirit revealing the truth. And they get it wrong. And they take words out of, they take God's word out of context. Or they settle what they believe on one scripture in the whole word of God. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth to you. That you cannot figure this out or know this with your little finite mind and wisdom. Even in Jesus' day, the ones who were supposed to know didn't. So trust God in faith. He has this in hand. Amen? So let's look at some more scriptures about this transformation to confirm this truth, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 5, the temporal and eternal. Oh, hallelujah. Are you ready for what comes next? For we know that this earthly tent, this flesh is only considered a tent in the economy of God, our physical body, just the covering to who we really are, which is our house, is torn down through what? Death. We have a building from God. Now, he's talking there by temporal. He's talking about physical death, okay? We have a building from God. Hallelujah. For indeed, in this house we groan. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Longing to be clothed with our immortal, eternal, celestial dwelling like Adam and Eve had. But even greater, because it's through the air, the Son of God, the Savior, the King of glory, the victorious one, the overcomer, he settled it. Oh, praise God, it's time to trust and believe him. Oh, praise your name, Lord, as you show us more and more what you have truly done in our lives, so that by putting it on, we will not be found naked. You hear what he's talking about? He's talking about what God has done to take away what Adam and Eve were saying and what happened to them. Isn't that awesome? Do you know you're not really in the image of God unless you're born again in faith in Jesus? When he said that, let's make them in the image, that's when they were perfect. But you're not in the image of God and what God intended for his created children until you are born again in faith alone in Jesus. And then you come back. And you are intended, I mean, what you are in the image of God. And Paul says that in Ephesians 2, too. Praise God. I mean, Ephesians 1, I do believe. Somewhere in Ephesians, I know. 4, it might be Ephesians 4. Now, he has made us and prepared for us this very, well, I got ahead of myself, where am I at? Found naked. For while we were in this tent, we groaned, being burdened, often weighed down and oppressed. You know, that's part of the suffering, brothers and sisters. As born-again believers, that we long for a resurrected and glorified body like Jesus. But God has a purpose. You think about it. After you come to Christ, why were we changed right then? But sometimes God's thoughts are high above ours. But you know, really inside it is. I've told you this before, but the Lord showed me that you're like transfigured. That's how he sees us. That's how he sees us. Bright and shiny because of the life of God, the character, nature, the presence of Christ. Hallelujah, in the Spirit. Not be weighed down, not that we want to be unclothed, separated by death from the body, but to be clothed so that what is mortal, the body, will be swallowed up, oh, hallelujah, by life after the resurrection. Amen. That glorious day, the day of redemption. Now, he who has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is who? Again, God. When did anybody ever put anything that's about man? That's what all the religions, denominations, and everything have pushed. Remember, they're all created by man. They had good intentions, but God in mercy, where have they gone these days? Medium, or something they call woke. Woke to what? Could it be like Adam and Eve? More awareness? Sounds like it. And we've been seeing it. Thank God if there's any places that are still teaching the truth. Whatever names on the church, long as they're teaching the truth and guided by the Holy Spirit and taking the whole counsel and word of God, not what they choose and not choose. God have mercy. That's man's way, not God's. Now, he has made us and prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Holy Spirit as pledge, a guarantee, down payment on the fulfillment of his promise, and he will keep his promises. Understand that. So Paul telling us what we are and what Christ has made us through the his resurrection from the dead, and that we groan and long for this now. Amen? I have to make this point that I missed earlier, but the Holy Spirit says it is very important, because without this, all else would not matter in this flesh. John 11, verse 23 through 26. Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise from the dead." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise from the dead in the resurrection of the last day." Jesus said to her, "Hallelujah. I am the resurrection and life. Glory to his name, one name above all. Whoever believes in and adheres to and trusts and relies on me," that means a personal relationship, "motivated by love and not duty, works, or tradition, as Savior, will even if he or she dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die." Do you believe this? Do you see how really insignificant physical death is compared to the other one, which is eternal? The Lord said, he said, "I'm greater than death. I'm greater than physical, and I'm greater than spiritual. I'm making a way where there was no way for any of you sinful people out there. But I can. Because I'm perfect, I am the righteous one, I am the holy one, I am the Son of God, and I am the glorious eternal sacrifice and Savior. Praise his name forever as a living God speaks, and he wants people to know, because the time is short. The time is short, says the Lord, a warning to be prepared. Be ready for what comes next as the question goes forth. And the only way you are is through me, says the Lord." Praise your name, Lord Jesus. This is the question. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name. Hallelujah. And then what did he say to Martha? Do you believe this? That's what the Lord's saying to everybody. Do you believe this? Do you believe in me? Do you believe that I am who I am and I'm able to do what I can do and that I've already done? The question is the question the Savior and the Holy Spirit is asking all tonight who are seeking answer for your life personally and for what is going on in this world, especially the last couple of years. I pray with the help of the Spirit of God and your Heavenly Father that your answer like Martha. John 11, verse 27. This is what she says. She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I have believed and continue to believe that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed, the Son of God, he who was destined and promised to come into the world, and it is for you that the world has waited." God have mercy. Then why are they all looking somewhere else? I thank God that many are looking to him. But God of mercy, many are looking to the fallen one and his lies and deception and promises of utopia here in this world, up to the point where they're legislating sin. That will bring God's judgment on nations. Look at history. There's the problem. Oh, yeah, there's been done things and shadows and behind closed doors and terrible things to the innocent children and to even the unborn. But when you get people that are supposed to know and supposed to look to God to govern, and they're legislating these terrible things, look out. Judgment is coming. Hallelujah. But what you see in the world doesn't seem so much like that now. But God, anyone who seeks him, Everyone, I mean, it's available. It's available, but it's got to be God's way. But he shows you clearly it's simple. It's not difficult. Man makes it difficult. Satan wants to confuse you, bring fear. Seek true answers for your life. You who are tired and weary of this world and religion, cry out to your true Savior and Messiah right now before you face eternity without him, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is so important because without the resurrection of Jesus, we were all doomed in this flesh. He made it possible for eternal life for each of us who believe, who trust and have faith in him by overcoming sin at the cross, hallelujah, and death at the grave, praise God. So now let's continue. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the guidance. Are you ready for what comes next? What does the word say about the ones who are? Oh, hallelujah. Verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a human point of view, according to worldly standards and values, with God's help and led by the Holy Spirit, that we would start seeing people like God does, that they need a Savior. They're lost. They're alone. They're in fear. They don't have answers. The government don't have answers. The religion doesn't have answers. They're all looking in the wrong places for love. Jesus is the answer. We've got to look at things from God's perspectives and standards, not ours. They fall short. Though we have known Christ from a human point of view, and many of us have, now we no longer know him this way. Why? Because something has changed. Something miraculous has happened. And this is what the word says. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, joined to him by what? By faith in him as Savior. He is a new creature. God don't see you sinful no more. He sees you a new creature. He sees you like Christ. See, remember, we are to live by faith, not sight. Reborn and renewed by the Holy Spirit, we have to believe what he says who we are. The old thing. What old thing? The previous moral and spiritual condition has what? Passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakening brings what? A new life. You have new life in Christ. Ain't that awesome? All the things in our lives, all the sin, the flesh desires, the condemnation, the guilt of sin is all gone, washed away in the blood of Jesus. And we are born again by faith and trusting him to be what he really wants us to be. It is only truly possible through him only. Amen? Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified. Oh, hallelujah. Been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, not the old you. Dead and gone, it says. I who live, but Christ lives in me. A new way of living. A new lifestyle. There should be evidence. This life I now live in the body, I live by what? Sight? No, by faith. Not in the things you see. Not even some of the things you think in your mind. But adhering to, relying on, and trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He's greater than all our sin, brothers and sisters. In Romans 15:5, it says, he has overcome the fall. Do you believe the Lord? Or are you going to believe what men tell you? I would definitely believe the Lord and his word over anything anybody says. Even if I say it, make sure I'm telling you the truth, because it's very important. I pray by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I will always share God's word. And then he'll minister to you. He'll teach you. He'll guide you. He'll encourage you. He'll admonish you. It's part of growing and maturing and becoming more and more like the Son of God. Relying on him and trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Nobody else has ever done that. No other leader, no other so-called God, not the following, nobody. Only Jesus, only God has done that for us, the true living God. This is how serious this truly is. You are, oh hallelujah, you are a new creation, oh praise his name. Your old life, the old sinful you is dead. It was crucified on the cross of Jesus. That God wants you to know that you don't have to live the old way anymore. That Jesus has overcome sin, death, and hell. He has defeated Satan and taken all power and authority from him over us. He is like a roaring lion without teeth compared to Christ. Amen? Yes. You will still deal with this flesh. But we know, too, that God has made a way for us to overcome. And it is through repentance that we have this as believers and children of God. Those who are not his true children do not have this. They have to live with the guilt and shame until they are forgiven and redeemed. Amen?
Yes, buddy. What's going on?
Pam's son, Chris, has been diagnosed with either Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin's cancer.
Okay.
And he's got this invasive down his throat, down his belly, down his gallbladder.
Sounds like
prayer.
A miracle.
Both of them with cancer. They don't know if it's Hodgkin's or non-Hodgkin's studies. His lymph nodes are all
okay.
Infected.
We need to pray against cancer.
Yes.
For Chris? Okay, brother, sister, we prayer request from Sister Brenda, very important.
I hate you to interrupt.
It's okay.
But I didn't know if I was
going to
just
get
for you.
I got you.
Anyway, hi, everybody. I'm sorry I interrupted the service.
Pray for Chris.
All right.
Okay, babe.
All right, thank you.
Uh-huh. Pam's son. Against that devilish thing called cancer. Against the spirit of cancer. There is a spirit behind it, not just physical. As God has shown me, remembers things that are cursed. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We praise you, Lord, as your daughter comes with this serious prayer request. Lord God, we pray for Chris. We pray that he understands the diagnosis of the doctor is not the answer or the final word, but you, Lord. And Father, we lift up Chris now in the name of Jesus. We pray you would touch him and heal him, Father. Father, we pray against the spirit of cancer and tell it to leave in Jesus' name, and that Chris would humble himself and cry out to you and know that you are the true healer, and that you would lift him up and heal him, Lord, in your perfect way, for you are a God of miracles. And we lift him up, and that he would be a testimony to his family. Oh, they need it too, Lord. We pray that it would draw them back to you and know that you are the answer. As this thing comes at people, they know how frail and that life and death is right before them. But you, Lord, are able. And we praise and honor you that you will touch Chris and give him peace and comfort and to touch him and heal his wife, too. I know, Lord, as this terrible accident happened, you have something special for them because the enemy is trying to take them out. We pray against Satan. We pray against the spirit of cancer in the name of Jesus and tell it to go. Go in Jesus' name. We rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father. We come together. We intercede and pray that you intervene because of your mercy, grace, and love. We honor and praise you and thank you, Father. And we look for the testimony of what God is doing in Chris and his family in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, thank you. Now, we still deal with this. And now we have confirmed about this transformation. Let's look at what we should be right now. And know the only way to be this is through Yeshua, Jesus, the Son of God, the living God. Are you ready for what comes next? The answer is you are in Christ. That you should have peace. It's settled. God's done it. He has not brought a spirit of fear upon us. Not even a fear of God's judgment because Christ took it for us. I would be very wise and discerning. Anybody telling you're going to face anything of God's judgment and wrath, run. Run from them. They don't know the truth. Jesus took it at the cross. So we don't have to face it. He didn't want ones that believe and trust in to face that. No, that's a lie of the pit of hell. God is the one who gives life and salvation and eternal life. And he has a place that's far greater than anything of this world. The sinful, lost, dying world will be destroyed because of the infection and the curse of sin. We are not supposed to be earth dwellers. We are supposed to be of heavenly places now. Our new life. Praise his name. 1 John 5-10 says, God is light. This is the message of God's promised revelation, which we have heard from him and now announced to you, that God is light. Everyone. That is, God is light. There is no darkness in believers anymore. Because the light has come. There is no darkness in God's kingdom. There is no shadows in heaven. Do you know that? Because there's so much brilliant light. He is holy. His message is truthful. He is perfect in righteousness. And in him, there is no darkness at all. No sin. No wickedness, no imperfection. If we say that we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the darkness of sin. Remember, when walk talks about, it's talking about lifestyle. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we really walk in the light, that is, live each and every day in conformity with the precepts of God, how does that happen? You think it's in yourself? No way. Faith alone in Christ and born again by the Spirit. Spirit comes in and leads and guides us and teaches us, and that we walk in the will and purpose of God by the power, the life, and the character, and the nature of God. That's the only way. Nothing of ourselves. Least anybody boast. God have mercy. But we really walk in the light, that is, live in each and every day conformity with the precepts of God, as he himself is in the light. Remember, the precepts of God are the living word, Jesus. And it is the light, and we have true unbroken fellowship, relationship with each other. He with us, and we with him. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from what? All sin. By erasing the stain of sin. Keeping us clean from sin in all its forms and manifestations. If we say we have no sin, like if you are a pretender, self-righteous hypocrite, refusing to admit that we are sinners, we delude ourselves and the truth is not in it. His word does not live in our hearts. If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins and cleanse us continually from all unrighteousness as the Spirit leads, not as a work or tradition. Continually from all unrighteousness, our wrongdoing, everything not in conformity with his will and purpose. If we say that we have not sinned, refusing to admit acts of sin, we make him out to be a liar by contradicting him, and his word is not in us. Two scriptures from this great portion of scripture tell us we need Jesus now and what comes next. But if we walk in the light, that is, each and every day in conformity with the precept of God, as he himself is in the light, this is verse 7, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and he with us, and we with him, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin and keeping us cleansed from sins and all its forms and manifestation. Praise God. Who is the only one who cleanses us from all sin by erasing the stain of sin, keeping us cleansed from sin and all its forms of manifestation? Us? No way. Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Amen. This is for us now, brothers and sisters, preparing us to go home to eternity. It is only Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Then here's the other one. I mean, this one just blows you away. And you know, there's no hope without Jesus. When you hear this and understand this, until we get resurrected and glorified bodies, how serious it is about this corruptible flesh. Oh, praise the Lord. Listen to this. John, 1 John 2, 1 through 2. Christ is our advocate. My little children, believer, dear one, I am writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's law. If anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the upright, the just one who conforms to the Father's will in every way, purpose, thought, and action, and he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God. Wow. And anybody thinks they have anything to do with this? You are far from meeting God's standard in yourself. That would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature until we get resurrected and glorified body. And God's going to take care of this old body, going to give us a new one. Hallelujah. Our worldliness, our lifestyle, and not for ours alone, but also for the sins of all unbelievers? No. But for the sins of all believers throughout the whole world. The main thing about anything, if you fail God and fall into temptation and sin, and get to the place and say, God, forgive me. I do believe it's about growing and maturing because Christ has handled all sin, past, present, and future. Do you understand all our sins for future? Oh, glory to his name. He's able. With this word right here, do you know the only answer for all people in this world is Jesus Christ? He stands before the Father, even as God's children, because until we're resurrected and glorified, we all still with this thing called sin. The atoning sacrifice of the Son of God that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us, our sinful nature, our worldliness. I believe God has been helping us grow and mature rapidly. I really do. I sense it in my life, and nothing but I give all glory to him. But I'm sure all of us, our eyes are being opened up to the things of God and how serious this stuff really is. But thanks be to God for his son. We'd be nowhere without him. When you see this humbly eye-opening word, how can anyone say it is what you do plus our glorious Savior? I clearly say that is a lie of Satan and man. It is all about our glorious Savior, who he truly is and what he's done to save us and give us the life we all have now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, when he was talking to believers, to the church. What Peter says, where the righteous can barely be saved, what's going to happen to the unrighteous? Well, it's in the Word of God. We read part of it today. So now we see there's two destinations for God's created children, every man and woman. Those who repent and be reconciled to God through his Son, Jesus Christ, and those who do not repent and reject Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin and the punishment of that sin. Now, ready or not, I will reveal to you what you will face next without Christ. God have mercy. Bless you, Brother Andrew. Bless you, brother, you and your family. We thank God for you. Send our love and prayers and say shalom and good night. And we say shalom. Welcome, sis Aurelius. Bless you, sis. Isaiah 2. I'm going to do part of this because the time is getting by. This message was so long. Their land has also been filled with idols. They worship the work of their hands. This is Isaiah 2 through what I believe the Lord shows me here. That which their fingers have made. Does that sound familiar? So the common man has been humble before idols, and the man of importance has been degraded. Therefore, they do not forgive them. Do not forgive them, O Lord. This is what the prophet is saying. Go among the rocks and hide in the dust. Does that sound like Revelation 6? From the terror of the Lord and from the splendor of his majesty, the proud look of man will be degraded, and the arrogant men will be humbled, and the Lord alone will be exalted in that day. Hallelujah. A day of reckoning is coming. Verse 12, for the Lord of hosts will have a day of reckoning against all who are proud and arrogant, against all who are lifted up, that they may be degraded. And the wrath of God will be against all the cedars of Lebanon, the west of Jordan, are high and lifted up, against all the oaks of Bashan, east of Jordan, against all the high mountains, against all the high hills that are lifted up, against every high tower, against every fortified wall. It's all going to come down against all the ships of Tarsus, against all the beautiful craft. Everybody thinks everything in this world they've built is so great, huh? Then the pride of man will be humbled, and the arrogance of man will be degraded. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Praise his name forever, because that's what's coming. But you don't want to be in that place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, but are you ready for what comes next? Well, Jesus shared a parable. And it's even going to be more than this. And this thing's pretty tough. Luke 16:19-31. The rich man and Lazarus. Now there was a certain rich man who was habitually dressed in expensive purple and fine linen and celebrated and lived joyously in splendor every day. And the poor man named Lazarus was laid up at his gate, covered with sores. He eagerly longed to eat the crumbs of which fell from the rich man's table. Besides, even the dogs were coming and licking his sores. Now it happened that the poor man died, and his spirit was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, paradise. And the rich man also died and was buried. Boom. Automatically, you see the difference? This man lives on, the poor beggar. But what about the rich man? Boom. Died and buried. Into whatever you want to call what it's like. In Hades, the realm of the dead, being in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom, paradise. And he cried out, Father, Abraham, have mercy on me. He was really calling the wrong one. Send Lazarus so he may dip his finger in this water and cool my tongue, because I am in severe agony in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you receive your good things, all the comforts and delights? And Lazarus likewise bad things, all the discomforts and distresses. But now he is comforted here in paradise, while you are in severe agony. And besides all this, between us and you people, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to come over from here to you will not be able, and none may cross over from there to us. So the rich man said, Then, Father, I beg you to send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers, in order that they may solemnly warn them and witness to them, so that they too will not come to this place of torment. The Jews had the prophet. The Jews had the king. They had Jesus showing up, God with them. And this is what he says. But Abraham said, they have the scriptures given by Moses, the writings of the prophets. Let them listen to them. He replied, No, Father Abraham. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. They will change their old way of thinking and seek God and his righteousness. And he said to him, if they don't listen to the message of Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. We know who's going to do that. The last verse is for all of you who reject the one who came back from the dead, raised to life, eternal life, glorified. You will face this in eternity without him in your life now. God have mercy. It is Jesus, the resurrection and life for us all who believe in faith and trust and love him with all our heart and life. Amen. And your final destination, what will come next in your existence without Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. The final judgment. And I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated upon it, and for whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them, for this heaven and earth are passing away. And I saw the dead, the great and small, standing before the dead. There's nobody alive. Nothing considered life that God gives. They're all dead. God have mercy. Standing before the throne, the books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what they had done, as it is written in the book. That is, everything done while on earth. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and the death and Hades, the realm of the dead, surrendered the dead. Who are them, were in them, and they were judged and sentenced, everyone according to their deeds. Not what Jesus did. It's too late for all these. Then death and Hades, the realm of the dead, was thrown, the whole thing, thrown into the lake of fire. God have mercy. This is the second death, the lake of fire, the eternal separation from God. God of mercy. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. God of mercy. and there still is now. It is not too late. He has love, mercy, and grace to all who call upon his name now before it is truly too late. You see, in this temporal life, breath as long as God says so. Then after this, the judgment you will face without Jesus. This is a warning to all who have not believed and trusted in the Son of God or Savior, for all of mankind, Jesus Christ. You want to know how much hate, he hates sin? Then take a good look at the cross where God's own Son died. That cruel, horrible death so we could live and not face this ourselves. This is your destiny by the word of God, which I just read. Take heed to this warning. It is true and real. And your loving God and Creator wants all to know this because he truly loves you. And the one who truly owned by hates you and wants you in hell with him to be judged and tormented like him, Satan, forever. God of mercy, hear the warning of the Lord God Almighty. But know this, all who call upon the name of the Lord with sincere, repentant heart, that is what comes next for them. I pray and hope you wanted this instead of this other I just shared. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. The mystery of the resurrection. Now I say this, believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit nor be part of the kingdom of God, nor the desire of a perishable mortal inherit imperishable immortal. Listen very carefully. I tell you a mystery, a secret truth decreed by God and previously hidden, but now revealed. We will not all sleep in death, but we will all be completely changed, wonderfully transformed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the last trumpet call. For the trumpet will sound and the dead who believe in Christ will be raised imperishable and will be completely changed, wonderfully transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, capable of dying, must put on immortality, which is freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on imperishable, that's the ones who died. And the mortal puts on more immortality, that's the ones who live and remain. Then the scripture will be fulfilled that says, death is swallowed up in victory, vanquished forever. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin by which brings death is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, always doing your best and doing more than is needed, being continually aware your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. We have come full circle. After the fall of mankind became mortal, but through Jesus Christ, we can become immortal again like God intended. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, the living water, the bread of life, he is the light of this so dark, simple world. He is the Lamb of God who takes away all your sin if only you would believe and trust him. He did all this for each of you because he loves all of us very much and is long-suffering so that you can come to him now. Repent. Come to Jesus. Be born again so you can enter this glorious kingdom and you will be ready for what comes next. Amen forever. People, get ready. Jesus is coming. Oh, praise his name. Amen. People get ready. Jesus is coming. Thank you, Jesus. Come on now. Amen. Ready now. Waiting for your comfort to turn. You're coming so soon. Lord has nothing for me. Find peace and joy so solely in you. Only you. Want the world to see you're alive and living well in me. Let me be part of the harvest for the dead. The days are few. It's coming soon. Come on now. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming to take it from this world his own. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. People get ready. Jesus is coming soon. We'll be going home. Amen. We'll be going home. Amen. Hallelujah now. Hallelujah. Will be a day when we're divided, the right and left. For those who know him, those who don't know, those who know him will meet him in the air. Hallelujah. God is with us. Those who don't know, they will hear the part I know you not. For my friends, you see, there will be a day when you be counted. So you know him well, know him well. Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take us from all his own. People get ready, Jesus is coming, soon we'll be going home. People get ready, Jesus is coming to take us from the world his own. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Should be a gone now. Hallelujah. Yes.
Well, brothers and sisters, are you ready for what comes next? The question, of course, I ask, but the Lord is asking, the Holy Spirit's asking. I believe most of you here are. But there could be people that listen to this message or listen to the Lord's hour that are not. Need to pray for them because you've got to be ready for what comes next is eternity. Only be ready through the eternal one, Jesus Christ. That's the answer. That's the answer. Everything else doesn't meet God's standard. Only who we are in Christ. Praise his name forever. All right. So we can get to some prayers here before Sis finishes up tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We've already prayed for a couple there. Let's see. That happened. Sis, Connie, do you have any update on your co-worker, Loopy? We prayed for healing for her. Affected by tornadoes, I said in Texas, but how about the whole country, or definitely the South? Let's pray for, let's see. Oh, yeah, we prayed for for Sis Brenda's daughter, April, and she is healing and doing much better. Okay, Sis, we'll continue to pray then. Till we hear something different. So April's doing much better. Praise God. We pray for, always praying for Chris and Amanda about the dadgum car crash. And now, you know how it is. Every time you go to the doctor, it seems like they find something these days, don't it? Well, we know that their report is not final. God is the one in control. And we need to understand that. He makes the final decision. And his decision is more about life and healing and deliverance. Hallelujah. So we continue to pray for him now. We pray for Sis Connie's husband for his job. Any news on that, Sis, about your husband's job? I hope it's doing well. I don't have any new word about Tevin's father. I think he's doing better. Praying for Sis Jeanette's husband, David, for healing. Any word on that? Any word on that, Sis Jeanette, about your husband? Is he healed? We need to keep praying. Amen. That's good, Sis. That's good. That's a praise. Amen. Okay, Sis. What about your husband as we was praying for David? Anything new about that? Pray for your sister's skin growth, okay? Any other prayer requests? Praise God. Very grateful and humble. And the Lord does hear our prayers, and he has been into many. You ought to see all the crosses on this page. Thank God, the Lord. Hallelujah. He does hear our prayers, that we trust and believe in him. Amen. All right. Okay, his knees. Okay, we pray for his knees. Okay. Okay. Praise his name. Father, we thank you and we praise and honor you as we come tonight humbly before you. Lord God, we continue to pray for these prayer requests. And Lord, we put it all in your hands. Because Lord, you're the one, Jane, okay. And I wrote that down here. Let's see. Okay. Sister Jane. All right. Lord, we pray as you see the concern. That's terrible. Okay, Sis. That happened to our, you know, Brenda's daughter, too. It's getting to be an evil and rough world. One thing I would tell y'all, if I don't know where y'all live, whatever, but I would try to get out of cities. It's much better in the country. The cities are getting so dangerous, but as God leads you. But the cities are, you know, they are not a very safe place anymore, but I know the Lord is able to watch over you there, too. I really do. I really believe that, too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we'll pray for that, too, sis. Father, we just pray. You see the concerns of the of your people, your children, and all that's going on. Lord God, we pray you intervene. Father God, we've already prayed for Chris, and we believe that you're touching and healing him, and that he'll be a walking testimony. Lord God, we thank you for that you found Sis Connie's husband a new job and that he's doing well. Praise God. Father God, we continue to pray for Kevin and his father. I don't know the update. We pray for healing upon him. Lord, we pray for Sis Jeanette's husband, David. Lord, he's having knees that are hurting and painful, and that something's going on that's causing this pain. We pray you touch him and heal him in the name of Jesus, that you're the creator, and that, Lord, you can heal his knees and do what needs to be done to take away this pain, and he's able to walk. And that he will be able to stand and walk and be a witness and a testimony. I pray that you would build his faith to be able to do that and trust you and know that you are the God who heals in the name of Jesus, Lord. Lord, we pray for Sis Jeanette's sister, Jane. We pray that you would touch her skin with your healing hand, Lord, and that she, this skin, this thing, this skin or growth will fall off in the name of Jesus and she be healed. And Lord, that you would heal her skin and make it like it was created to be. Lord God, we pray for Sergio, Sis Connie's son. Lord, we pray against the enemy trying to come against him. We pray against these people that do evil. And Lord, that we humble ourselves and put them in your hands, Lord, that vengeance of mine says the Lord. But we pray for Sergio and that he will see that he needs you, and that we pray for protection and that you are the one who protects us, Lord. And you would watch over and protect him and Connie and their family. I pray, Father, you put a shield around them and the mighty hedge of the Holy Spirit around them and help to make a way that he'll be able to get tires and new windows. And God, that you will, he'll see that you intervene in his life. And that you love him. And I pray that you would touch him, Lord, touch his heart, and that he would be drawn to you and away from any kind of people that do these terrible things and this kind of influence from the fallen one and the ones controlled by him. We pray for the blood of Jesus, the shed blood over Connie and their household in the name of Jesus from the enemy. And we thank you and honor you, Father. We thank you for your word tonight. And that, Lord, we have answered the question. We who believe and trust in you, Lord Jesus, and know that you will take us home and that we're ready for what comes next and we're excited about it to come. But we trust you in your perfect way and time. I know, Lord, you want us to hear to shine the light of God still so that others will come to know you and they will not face that terrible place called hell and the lake of fire. Father, we thank you that you do hear the prayers of your children and you see our hearts. And you know, Lord, that we know that you intercede for us, Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit does. So we're in good hands. And so is our family and friends and all that we pray for. We pray this is a time of decision and the time of salvation. And we pray that many will come to know you, Lord. Because we know that there'll be people at the white throne judgment dead. No life. God have mercy. How can anybody even get to that place? But I pray they come to you, Lord. I pray they come to know you're the answer. You're the way, the truth, and life. And this life is not it. there's much more ahead. And I pray it's for life and not death. We honor and praise you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the mighty word, and that others would hear, and the Holy Spirit would touch their lives and hearts, and their lives will be changed, and they will have a life that you give. We honor and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God, brothers and sisters. If we come to finish up tonight, and the Sis Jeanette will sing this beautiful, one of the beautiful hymns. Those people really had a heart when they would share the words of these old hymns. And they wanted everybody to hear. Thank God, we still can. All right, sis, praise God. Amen,
Amen.
Sis. All right.
Amen.
Okay, sis.
Okay. Yeah.
Praise
Trust
God.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean up on your own understanding. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, for grace to trust him all.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen, sis. Such a beautiful song. The person who wrote it, this was pouring out their heart, singing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I want to tell everybody that we will be here next Friday. I mean, I don't think it was last year at Easter or some other time, or Resurrection Sunday, whatever I'm going to call it, of course. And the Lord went to the cross for us. But he's already gave me the title of the message, and it's going to be mainly from the Word, for sure, like most of my messages. And the message is going to be called To the Cross and the Empty Tomb, Jesus Christ. Because he's done it, and that people need to know about it. And that's the only answer. There's no other. So if God leads you about, you know, what music to have for that. But praise God. I thank God for each one of you and you, sis, for sure. And bless each one. And you know, we're in the best hands there is. We're in the loving hands of God, the eternal hands of love, of mercy and grace. And that we've answered the question. Are you ready for what comes next? Yes, we are.
Yes,
in
we
Christ
are.
Alone, as you put up, sis, in Christ alone. All right. Well, thank you, sis. Thank you for serving
thank
the
you
Lord.
Too, brother.
You have a blessed day and weekend. If you get a chance, y'all check out that the People's Convoy. They're out there in California. They're going to be out there protesting against these. Have y'all heard about these terrible bills they're trying to bring up in California, don't you?
Oh, okay.
Oh, they're terrible. You need to check that out. The terrible bills, what they're bringing, they're talking about control. They're talking about wanting to kill babies after they're born. It's terrible. I mean, just like I said, they're legislating sin and wickedness, and that's when God's judgment comes. But anyway, it's interesting to check out. But they're there because they know what happens in California moves across the country. So that's why they're there. But anyway.
Okay, brother.
All right, have a blessed weekend, and we thank God for you and send our love and prayers and say shalom and good night.
Shalom and good night, brother and sister Brenda, and all my brothers and sisters in the chat room. Shalom.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Amen. Well, praise God. Well, bless you, Sis Connie and Sis Rios. Bless both of you. Thank God for y'all, and we're all in this together. Family of God, we're not alone. The Lord is with us, and that he'll watch over us. He'll protect us and guide us, and that his face will shine upon us. And his face shines through us now as the light shines within us. And that he will bless you and he'll give you peace, his shalom. And praise God for another night we can come together and rest in him and be renewed and strengthened. And I say shalom and good night. Bless each one of you. Shalom, good night. Mm.